today came from Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 28. Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. So note that, and as I preach, they will be following us with that scripture as I refer to them. Thank you. Today we are going to speak on the subject, the children's bread. The children's bread. So write it down, the children's bread. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 26, it is not right to give the children's bread to the little dogs. But what is the children's bread that we want to talk about? Now, let's pick the Canaanite woman. The Canaanite woman came from a land of Canaan, obvious, like a British person come from Britain. And that land of Canaan is full of idolatry. They worship idols. They bow down to them. They even make their children pass through the fire. They offer them as rituals. Occult practices, voodooism, witchcraft, all these things were mixed with their lifestyles as normal things to do. They have no heart for the only true God. Many people have their little altars in their little corners, and they serve them. And that is the background of the person we are talking about, the Canaanite woman. Today is Mother's Day. That's why we want to talk about a woman, but then it's for a man too, and for all gender. And I want you to listen to that. The woman was foreign as far as the Israelites were concerned. It meant she did not know God, and she was excluded from the blessings of Abraham. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 that I will bless you. As you go out of your house, you'll be a blessing. And as you come into your house, you receive my blessing. And anyone who blesses you, get blessed. Anyone who curses you, get cursed. But then I will multiply you, and I'll make you like the stars of heaven. And your descendants will be as numerous as the sand at the seashore. Can you count these? This is incredible. So that means God's blessing, that is his favor, the things that God wants anyone who align himself to get is tremendous. God wants to bless anyone and everyone who wants to align himself to God or to himself that's being God. Because think about Abraham himself. Abraham was also from a pagan nation. He wasn't a Christian at all. He's from present day Kuwait and Basra area. His people and his descendants worship idols. That place is called the Ur of the Chaldeans. Chaldeans because there's a lot of people in that area who obviously came from priestly and kinly clan and communities. That's why we had, wise men from the east. They came from that part of the world. But the guy was not even a Christian. He didn't believe in God. But God called him and he actually responded and aligned himself with him. So the blessings of Abraham, this woman was excluded from that blessings of Abraham. It also meant she was open to all forms of idolatry that could harm her and hinder her from achieving the purpose of God in her life unless she allows God to intervene. The fact that she was foreign, the fact that she was a Canaanite, the fact that she worshipped idols, the fact that she was excluded from the blessings, that means any blessing that comes from God will not reach her. And today we want the blessings of God to reach you, mothers in particular for Mother's Day. We want the blessings of God to reach you, fathers and everybody in this community and in this gathering. I want the blessings of God to reach you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is interested in all people, no matter what, and no matter who you are, and he has a purpose for you. When you align yourself to God's purpose by coming to him, His purpose for your life will be unfolded to you. As you say, God, I want to align myself to you, my purpose will be unfolded to you. So this is exactly what this Canaanite, who was excluded, did. She had to. The Bible said, and she came to Jesus as she was in the region of Tyre, right? As she was in the vicinity of Tyre, she cried out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. We'll talk about that as we develop this message. God will always appeal to us by his Spirit, but the choice is with us whether we want to respond and come to him or not. God created us, I'll use a big word, but I'll explain it, tripartite. That means we are tripartite being, that means we are made of spirit, we've made of soul, and we are made of body. We only see the body, but in us we have a spirit. When you die, your spirit will go to God, but you also have a soul, and the soul is your mind. The soul is your emotions. The soul is your will. And this is a very powerful tool that makes us who we are. And these three can be attacked by Satan at any time. Satan can attack your mind. It can attack your body. It can attack your emotions or will. That is what Satan does. So this woman said, but my daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. You see, because she was not aligned to God, she was opened for her soul to be attacked by Satan. And demons mean Satan's angels, followers. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, I'll read it for you, it's not going to be projected. It says, put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks of Satan. I'm reading from TLB, the Living Bible. Put on of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks of Satan. Satan sometimes plays tricks on us. He comes subtle, you don't see. He does things, and sometimes we do things that we don't even know who is behind it, what is behind it. But at the end of the day, when you are caught in that web, the evidence is what we see. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. I don't know exactly where she went, what she did. Some of you probably came from cultures that when you were young, you had no part in it, but your parents might have taken you to some places that you have to drink some potions. That opens that door. Some of you, when you were born, you were brought before, and then they had to lift you up and pour some libations and talk to your ancestral gods. That is an open door. Some of you may well be that there's a line of trait in our home that repeats itself over and over again, and you are born into this home, not your fault, and you pick the character and the things in that place. You'll be thinking, oh God, what is he talking about? Yes, this is scripture. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. This is what the lady's prayer. She came to Jesus. She didn't say, Jesus, give me money, like some of us, when we pray, God, give us money and make us, prosperous. Even though we are at home and we don't want to work and want to be prosperous, you think God is going to drop it from the sky? It ain't going to happen. Apply for that job. Or do some studies as well and get some skills so that you can do something with your hands. But what I'm trying to say, this was her plea. This is a mother's plea. She wasn't, I don't think she had a problem. Her problem is that she is a foreigner to the promise of Abraham. She's from Canaan, and therefore her background is idolatry. That is her problem. But then she was pleading on behalf of the daughter, and that is what mothers will do. Who mother will not plead on behalf of the son or daughter who has become demon-possessed or who is suffering from something? Are you with me? So if Satan will come to us in a red suit, with a pitchfork in hand, sporting a long tail and two horns, we'll recognize him and take the necessary action to either avoid him or embrace him. All the temptations that he throws at us and the ultimate destruction of our souls, if we see him in such clothes walking the streets of Greenwich, what are we going to do? Well, some of you will run. How many of you will just go embrace him and take his pitchfork from him? I can't get a volunteer. Why? Yes? You will. God bless you, and I'm sure you will. You can, actually. You see, the reality is that you will not be doing that. But then we have painted Satan in that colors and that costume that he has almost become, we've almost become desensitized. That means it becomes harmless, something that we can actually play with, right? It's in our books. It's on our posters. It's in our films. So he is harmless, but he's not. Let's see what scripture tells us. But the reality we face are different from the picture of Satan we see all around us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, from the Living Bible, it says this, "For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. The evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world." We're dealing with persons without bodies. So you are dealing with something that you don't see. You are dealing with something in the spirit world that is working against you. And in some families, it may bring not only demon possession, but it may bring some illness that runs in the trail of the family. You see, science calls it genetics. But the Bible calls it iniquity. Generational curse. Somebody somewhere did something wrong along the line and opened the door and gave the legal right to the enemy to interfere. And some generation along the line, somebody caught the end of it. Are you with me? This is Mother's Day. And I just want you to understand that some of the things that we encounter in our lives and in our homes and in our families, in our workplaces, is not just happening like that. There is a reason. I love doctors. They do a lot, and medical people, to find solutions. But then persons without bodies, you cannot detect them with instrument, are you? Hello? Spirit of wickedness in the heavenly places, which are unseen according to scripture, can you catch them on your stethoscope? No amount of education can catch these. They are people unseen. In case you didn't get the verse, I would like to read it again to you. Ephesians 6:12. "For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. The evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world." So in the spirit world, anyone who's been involved in occultism or witchcraft or wizardry or sorcery, they cannot tell you that there is some power in there somewhere. But our God has a bigger power. That is why this woman came and said, "My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Why didn't she go? There must have been some witch doctors wherever she came from, isn't it? There must have been sorcerers there who could have helped her. Someone at the door, if they can help him. Okay, thank you. There must be sorcerers who were there. There must be magicians. But then, Jesus was not even in Israel. He was in the region of Tyre and Sidon, present-day Lebanon. So that place that Jesus was, it wasn't a friendly place at all. And someone saw Jesus and recognized that his power was beyond the powers of those witchcraft, the occultists, and all those powers that were around. So the person came to Jesus and said, "My daughter is demon-possessed." What we face is unseen, evil, wicked, and come in huge numbers from various directions. Though not usually seen by our natural senses, its effects are destructive on our sons and daughters, and indeed on ourselves sometimes. They are unseen forces of evil. that work in darkness. And these forces speak to us all the time. Hallelujah. And I've said in this church in recent months and recent years that there are three voices that speak to us. And we have to choose which voice we want to hear. The voice of God by the Holy Spirit. The voice of the enemy, who is Satan and the demons. Or the voice of our spirit, which is our conscience. These three are competing and they speak the same pitch. But you have to decide which one you want to make it bigger in your ears. And this woman decided that I want to make the Lord Jesus, Son of David, to be bigger in my ears, and I'll go to him and said, have mercy on me and have mercy on my daughter is suffering. Please keep it up. So you see, the suffering of the mother, of the daughter, the mother feels it. Who mother won't feel it when your child is suffering? So the mother identified with the problem. She identified with the pain that the daughter was feeling and said, have mercy on me. Before I said, now my daughter is. So somehow, sometimes, we have to learn to stand in for somebody and say, God, have mercy on me, for my daughter is suffering. Are you with me? Have mercy on me, for my friend is suffering, for my mother is suffering, my father is suffering. Have mercy on me, my neighbor is suffering. Do you care that much? That mother cared so much about a daughter that she made that effort to go and see Jesus Christ, Lord, Son of David. She literally was identifying, aligning herself with Jesus Christ. And today, the question is, are you going to identify and align yourself with Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, for my daughter is suffering. Hallelujah. The voice we listen to will define our purpose in life and to a large extent shape our destiny. And this woman decided that she would listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. And therefore, she wanted her destiny to be aligned, her destiny to be shaped, and her future and her purpose to be shaped by Jesus Christ. And today, on Mother's Day, I say that the message you need to hear and what you have to hear clearly is that your future and your purpose and your destiny in life need to be shaped by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Today, many people are hurting. Sons and daughters of God who are suffering and in bondage to addictions, emotional and mental meltdown, generational curses, sexual immorality, disobedience, and lifestyles that they are not able to free themselves from. These people need to discover the mystery of the message that Jesus came to preach and practice while on earth, which he has left us part of the Father's inheritance so that we can also walk into it. Jesus Christ has left us an inheritance. This is the message I came to preach. This is the message I came to practice. Because if you read the scripture, the Bible said that Jesus Christ started preaching and said, the kingdom of God is at hand. That means God is here right now, and I want you to stretch your hand and say, God, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. You don't have to wait till you get home and say, okay, when I go home, I'll do my prayers. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you have to accept God. Amen. Today. The kingdom of God is now. That's what Jesus Christ preached. And Jesus Christ went on. And as he preached, the next thing that he did was he healed the sick. Are you with me? You think during that time there were no doctors? There were plenty. Yet a lot of people came to him for him to be healed. They could have gone to the hospital. But the reason why they came to him, they wanted quick, instant healing, supernatural healing. That's what they were looking for. Because some of them were on medication. For years, we hear of a woman who was on medication, spent all her money on doctors for 12 years and couldn't get healed, and came to Jesus. We see of some who were born blind or who have been blind from birth, or from childhood, or lame from childhood, and they couldn't get, healed, or they couldn't get straightened up. And they needed something beyond what they see. So they came to Jesus, and his message is supernatural. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we read from the Bible, Jesus healed us, and we think, oh, that's for that time. Jesus heals right now. Amen. 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 Our faith should be current. It should be right now. Jesus heals right now. And he's able to heal. I've seen so many healing, even in this church, that I know Jesus heals. And we hear that Jesus cast out demons. He cast out devils. It was as if it was his daily ritual, right? He cast out devils, and we think it was then. But what did we say? The devil attacks our minds, attacks our souls, attacks our emotions, attacks our wills, and prevents us from actually living in the purpose for which God has created us. It takes the blessings of Abraham away from us, and therefore we don't walk into it. So people went to Jesus for this reason, so that they'll be free from emotional disturbance and mental meltdown, bondages to addiction and so many forms of addiction. I've mentioned generational curse. Some people are addicted sexually to immorality. Some are disobedient. And some people, our lifestyles are just not good. And these things, we are not able to free ourselves from it. Some of us go onto the internet and watch some things. I don't do it, but I'm just saying some of us because I want to identify with that. We go onto the internet and watch some things, and we think, oh, it's just okay. Very soon you're addicted to it, and you can't get out, and you think it's medical, right? And then you go and receive counseling, psychological. But you see, demon possession. You cannot counsel demons. There are persons without bodies working, attacking your emotions, attacking your mind, and attacking the things that you do. There are spirits unseen in the wicked, evil forces of wickedness in the spiritual realm working around us. But sometimes we think, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, this country is very prosperous, so you don't have to believe those things anymore. I work in the city for many years. The stress and the depression is unbearable. I know that. And many people go through this in their own homes and in their own lives. And I just want you to see and know that these things are real. These people need to discover the mystery of the message that Jesus Christ came to preach. And that mystery is salvation and deliverance from anything that will otherwise harm us. Jesus Christ came to heal us. And when we look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, Jesus said, and he opened the scroll and read where it is written in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 4. But he read it to them in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And he said, the Spirit of the living God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set free those who are bound and those who are in prison, to loosen them up, and those who are held captive and possessed, to set them free and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. And as he was talking, people said, hey, that was beautiful. And we go to verse 20, and he said, and this saying has happened now. And today I just want you to understand that Jesus Christ came to save. It's a primary goal. But most churches and most Christians, they are happy to have you saved. They don't even know that your soul doesn't get saved because your mind is still being attacked. Your will and your emotions are being attacked. And this church, we haven't a vision of the souls. We started new life, new beginning. We want you to take you through scripture, what it means to align yourself to Jesus Christ. What it means for the Spirit of the living God to anoint you. What it means to have inner healing and deliverance from all works of evil. And I recommend it to all of you in this house. Because you cannot be effective in ministry if you haven't been healed in your soul. It's like walking with sickness around you. And your character always bears it up. It doesn't matter whether you want to hide it, it comes out because it is something from within that's coming. What did Jesus say? He said, it's not what we do with our hands that defiles us, but what comes from within that defiles us. So there's something inward that is defiling us. Now let's look at this subject of demon possession. I'll get there, right? Bear with me. The Canaanite woman chose to listen to the voice of God, but there was a problem. She's not from the household of Israel, and therefore not regarded as one of the children Jesus came to give bread to. Let's look at verse 26, what Jesus says. Read roll it back to 25 for me. That will be helpful. Thank you. The woman came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. Remember, the problem was with the daughter, but it said, Lord, help me, she said. And Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. That's a harsh saying, isn't it? But sometimes our problem is we focus on what Jesus has said, the harsh saying. But then sometimes Jesus had to be harsh with people so that they will know that where they are is not right and you have to do something about it. You understand that? He had to push it in your face that where you are is not good. You cannot stay there. Because being oppressed by demons gets you into a place that it makes you low as a human being. The other problem that the Canaanite woman had was to do with the whole being of her daughter. She was possessed by a demon. That means her spirit was possessed, her soul was possessed, and her body was possessed under total control of evil. Demon possession is that, like that. Total control of evil. And when somebody's under total control of evil, physically they are very, very strong. They can kill you. I remember when I was a kid, I don't remember what age, probably about 6 or 7 or maybe 8, maybe 8. More like that, because 6, I probably wouldn't remember everything. And this woman walked in front of me. And those days, you don't think anything. Everybody's auntie, isn't it? And this person held me, and she just hauled me into the air and dropped me to the ground and sat on me. I know why my body didn't break. I was so confused. And hard as I was trying to push her, I couldn't. And she was just a skinny lady, you know. She was so strong and powerful. Later on, as I grew and as I understood, she was demon-possessed. So when somebody is not a physically, the person becomes very strong. Spiritually, the person can cause damage. But the person is the first person being damaged. Her spirit, her soul, and her body was under total control. A door had been opened for Satan and his agent to enter and take complete control of that child that we are talking about. And this is possible because neither the child nor the mother knows God and consciously or unknowingly opened the door to and giving the legal right to the devil to oppress her. And the devil is taking control of your whole body. Sometimes we have self-harm. Yes? Hello? People harm themselves. And no human being in his or her rightful brain or, faculties will harm yourself because we feel something, don't we? But a lot of people do that. And sometimes we diagnose that as sicknesses. But some of these sicknesses have persons without body behind it. It's a teaching moment as well today. You're quiet, aren't you? Are you getting blessed? Yes. A door had been opened. Now, 2 questions I want to ask you. What are you currently involved in or your children doing, reading, watching, or listening to that might open the door for persons without body to enter in? What are you currently doing? Reading, watching, or listening to that will open that door for persons without bodies to get in? What are your children watching? What games are they playing? What are they doing? Do you care? You see, some of these games come as harmless stuff. Some of these games are developed on the back of ancient, sometimes, religions and spirits. Some of them are violent games. The only time God wants us to be violent is to be spiritually violent against the works of the evil one. And as your children play these things, watch it. You see that gradually they don't want God anymore. What has changed? That the toy in their hand is more important than God. The person that was so adorable and loved God so much, after playing with these toys a little bit and be on the internet a little bit, they changed. What has changed is that somehow, knowingly, unknowingly, they've allowed unseen forces to get into them. It starts with the mind. It starts with the emotions. It starts with the will. And they don't love God anymore. It snuff out anything of God in them. And as a mother today, Mother's Day, we want to rescue our children from the hands of these evil ones. We want to bring them to Jesus and say, have mercy on me, Lord Jesus. So telltale signs, when your children don't want to know God anymore, something is happening in the spiritual realm. They don't know, they don't understand. And do you want your children just to suffer like this? Are you with me? Because when they grow with it, they wouldn't know how to manage themselves. They may make all the money, but emotionally they'll be weak. Mentally they'll be weak. You see that they have character flaws in their behavior. You marry such men and you are in trouble. You marry such women and you are in trouble. Because they bring something into your home. There's so many examples in scripture. The time will not allow me to actually give them to you right now. But with time, if you stay in this church long enough, you hear a lot more about this. So that's one question. The second question is, what company and activity are you involved in or your children involved in, which is making them vulnerable? Yeah? I mean, just look at it. I've got three young ladies in my home, so I've watched children grow. They always have something in their ears. They know every song that comes into this world. Before even it is released, they seem to know. And they can get a word from A to B. When they come to church, they can't even sing one verse. They become mute. Not you, not you, not you. Let me have some rum now. I didn't mean my children. I'm just trying to give an example. I have children, so I see what children do. Yes, Tracy, you don't do things like that. And Jessica and Priscilla. Now, who else should I exclude? So what I'm saying is that somehow along the line, they get all these songs, but they do not get the songs of God. And some of these artists, they sell their soul to the devil. We know that. And these songs, you take them into you, and unknowingly, you are getting those spirits. Unseen forces. Persons without body. Spirits of wickedness dominate you, and soon, your children don't want church no more. Soon, they don't want to pray no more. Soon, they're happy with their songs, because somebody sells his or her soul to the devil, and therefore, you become an advocate, and you even pay for it. Hallelujah. I just want to say some truth to you on Mother's Day. That this story about this woman, I don't know how it happened, but her mother's heart is grieving because the child has now been completely taken over. And I just want you to know, if you're a mother, you're here, if you're a father, you're here, and you see signs like this, something is happening to your child, that you have to bring that child before God. Be ready to rescue that child and run to the to the feet of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. When one is demon-possessed, it means you are that state where you have given the legal right to the devil and therefore you have become a legal subject. A legal subject. Let me explain that. When you are a legal subject, you have no rights at all. You are not in control of yourself or destiny. It's like the court saying, I've awarded this child to this woman. The child had to go to that woman, whether she likes it or not. You cannot choose what you will do. Or if you go and do something bad and the court sentences you to prison, they take all your freedom away. You have no right. So here, what it does is that it makes us legal subjects. I may go on for another 10 minutes, but that is all right to make the noise. It's good. It helps me. You have no right at all. The third problem the Canaanite woman had was the husband was not with her, obviously absent. The absence of the father can create traumas, abandonment, rejection, and open the soul to become a battlefield. You understand that? The absence of the father could happen that the father died. It could happen that the father never owned up to be the father of the child. It could happen that the father never play a part in the child's life. It could happen that work commitment takes us so much from home that we don't even have time for the children. It happened that a sickness, divorce, or some incapacity or something else made us impossible for us, but we have a choice. Hallelujah. So today I'm addressing you fathers, that if you are too busy with your job, well, I have been before, and sometimes looking back, I regret. I thought I was doing the best for my family to live a good life. Generally, I think I'm a good father. Yes, girls? Thumbs up for everybody to say or to see. Right. Whether they say it or not, I know I'm a good father. I just want you to understand that these things can take you away. The work, the job, your business is not your purpose in life. One day you die and leave them behind. You never go to the grave with it. Spend time with your family. Spend quality time with your family. Don't wait until, oh, yes, we're going on holidays. I used to go on holidays with my laptop. The first 2 days, I'm working and sending them by email to work and talking to people. What sort of holiday is that? What sort of, quality life is that? I used to bring work home and I wake up late in the night working, or early hours of the morning working. 5 a.m. out. I don't come until 9, 10. That is, the father was absent. You see, this woman, they said the woman came to Jesus Christ. And the absence of father creates abandonment, rejection, traumas, and open the child's mind and soul to a battlefield. That means the mind become a battlefield. The mind become attacked. The children feel vulnerable. They feel abandoned. It could well be the father is absent because the father is at home all the time, but drunkenness have taken everything from them. Maybe at home all the time, but other things. Television, come home first and pick up the remote control. And therefore, there is no connection. Work is taking everything. Work is taking over. Habits and addictions is taking over. And this affects the home. In this woman's situation, emotional distress. And the devil attacked it. And the result is depression, isolation, fear, self-harm, uncontrollable emotional outburst, being of a critical spirit. If you are in that situation, you have gone through some trauma. You become a perfectionist. You become lonely, always worried about something, and sometimes lacking motivation to do anything of purpose. And if you read Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 16, there's a typical example of someone who's demon-possessed. And all these things that I'm talking about, isolation, emotional, uncontrollable emotional outbursts, you easily lose your temper and you want to kill somebody. And they're supposed to be your lovers, right? You're criticizing everything that your wife or your husband does. Nothing is perfect or good enough for you. If you see these things in your home, persons without bodies are operating. In this church, we know how to deal with them. Hallelujah. Amen. And we will deal with these things. If you hang on long enough with us, we will help you. Because that is the ministry of inner healing and deliverance. And that is what Jesus Christ came to preach. Get saved, heal the sick, cast out devils, and release those who are oppressed. Even we raise the dead in this church. If this is the first time you've been here, it is true. We do. We pray for those who are leprous and they get healed in this church. Hallelujah. We are here to expand the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we're going to expand this kingdom. A year by this time, when you come, you will not find a place to sit. You have to queue for the next service to be here. Are you with me? We are here for expansion. We are here for good. This is a good place. And if this is your first time, I just want to encourage you, this is a good place to be. Continue coming. And those of you who've been here for quite a long while, I do apologize. It's taken us a long time to get this far, but we are running. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Tanya. Keep on playing that. That energizes my spirit as I'm coming to the end of my message and my time as well. From what we know about the Bible and the culture of the Jews, you don't approach a great teacher and a prophet by yourself if you're a woman. However, those women who dared to persevere and persist with shameless audacity received great approval from the Lord and got their needs met. So today, Mother's Day, are the women in this church going to approach Jesus with great fervor, with persistency, being shameless and being audacious, want to approach Jesus and ask for mercy for their daughters, for their sons, for their fathers, for their husbands, for the people in their home who are possessed by persons without bodies? May I also say that if you are a child of God and have the Holy Spirit in you, you will not be possessed. That means your whole spirit cannot be controlled by it, but you'll be oppressed in your soul. You understand that? Jesus said, I came to set free those who are oppressed. Every time your moods go down, 1 minute you are the nicest person on earth, the next minute you are the next devil that everybody found. I'm wondering what is happening. Something is happening behind the scenes. Unseen forces. Spirit of wickedness. Are you getting blessed so far?
Yes.
Only these people. And you? Are you getting blessed?
Yes.
Thank you. As I round up, I said, Jesus came to preach the good news of the kingdom. The good news, as was preached by Jesus Christ and the disciples, is a holistic gospel. That means total gospel. Believe and practice what you hear and see. Salvation, release from oppression and those who are bound in prison, is the goal of the gospel, so that they will be healed inwardly. The mystery of deliverance, inner healing and deliverance, is the children's bread. So Jesus Christ was telling the lady, you know what? Now, it is not right for me to give the children's bread to those who are outside the commonwealth of Israel. Today, I want to give you the chance to opt in so that you can have the children's bread too, so that your soul that has been oppressed will be set free. Hallelujah. One cannot become mature in Christ if he or she is emotionally immature. A year or two ago, we did a course here, or a series here, which is emotional, healthy spirituality. And we said you cannot be mature as a Christian if you are emotionally immature. That is exactly what I'm saying. And a lot of people are emotionally immature. They're warriors, always worried about, oh, my shoe is not the right size. The shirt that they themselves bought, they're complaining, it's not the right color. I mean, the dress that they themselves have bought, or the facial stuff that they've bought, so the color doesn't suit me, yet they tried it at the shop. They complain and criticize everything, yet they can't make it. What am I saying? Inner healing and deliverance is the children's bread. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That was the same message that he gave to Zacchaeus in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. For the Son of Man came and has come to seek and to save the lost. The way forward for us to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ over our life, this is a choice you make. We can have the musicians up, please. Then you can receive the children's bread, as verse 26 tells us. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. But today you want to move out from the language of the dogs and receive the children's bread. And let me read verse 27 and 28 in case you think I've forgotten this there. The lady said, yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very moment. So today I'm going to pray for you. two prayers I'm going to pray. First, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are alien to the faith that we are talking about. You're not a Christian. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. You don't even know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that, look, that is disobedience. That is being independent. And by so doing, you miss the promise of God.